Amen. I have been blessed today. Have you? What a fellowship. What a joy divine. The testimonies encouraged me. God is good, isn't he? And all the time. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I am happy that we as Seventh-day Adventists acknowledge the season that we're in, aren't you? Because Jesus is the reason for the season, right? That's a cliche. I know it's a cliche, but it is true. And the other one I like is a bumper sticker that says, wise men still what? Seek him. And I think of this time of year, and I think this is the best time of year to be an Adventist, because everybody calls it Advent season, right? How many are Adventists? All right? And we don't just look forward to Jesus coming back the first time as a baby, right? We look for Jesus to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And essentially, I'm going to give you here, listen carefully. If you don't get anything, here's my message today in a nutshell. Are you ready? Behold, your King is coming. The one born as the Lamb of God in Bethlehem's stable is returning to reign as Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And I could have the benediction right now because we've had a wonderful... But is it okay if I share a little bit more with you? Okay. Are we all right? Just a few minutes, because we've got a lot going today. As I invite you to pray with me, I want to just mention again the Medina family. Thank you, Brother Kevin, for mentioning that. This afternoon, I've got some olive oil. We're going to be going to a hospice where Delicia Medina is dying, her family. I don't know how many of you know Pete and Ada Medina. Do you know them? Or Jessica Van Hart, Delicia's sister. Delicia Medina was at Andrews University and was struck unexpectedly with multiple sclerosis. And as her brother prayed, it is a disease that attacks the body from within. And she has fought a good fight. I want to say this. Yesterday, I went to pray with her and with the family, and you think going to a deathbed would be a downer and a depressing thing, especially on a rainy day. And I got over there, and I left there feeling very encouraged and like on a cloud, because this young lady, although she has been stricken with this disease and has been fighting it and losing the battle, her faith has never wavered. She's not given up on God. I saw her in a nursing home a couple of weeks ago as she was recovering from a bout of illness then, and she is doing well by faith. Her faith is strong, her body is weak, amen? And she's trusting in God, and she never grumbled or complained. So thank you for your prayers for Pete Medina and his family, especially Delicia, as she is struggling with this, but trusting in God. She's about to fall asleep in Jesus with confidence, with hope. She's going to meet her Jesus with peace when he comes again, which is soon. By all accounts, it is soon. Let's pray one more time. Shall we pray? Father God, as we open your word once more, we invite your Holy Spirit. Lord, we have a few minutes together. Help us, Lord, to feast on the good things, the fat things, the special blessings that you have for us in this Christmas story. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to move quickly, so turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Are your fingers nimble this morning? Can you get there quickly? Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 10. Because we live in a world where things are pretty dark. Amen? The world is dark, and we need the light. Thank God for the light. The light has come into all the bad news of our world. Ferguson, Missouri, and riots, and Ebola crisis in Africa, and could even come here. All of these fears we have, all of these things that could divide us, I want to thank you that into this dark world, the light of Jesus Christ has come. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, tells us what the angel said. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Dear friends, it never ceases to amaze me how good the good news is. Sister White tells us that the humanity of Jesus is everything to us. The fact that Jesus came to this world, the Son of God became the Son of Man. The Son of God, the Prince of Peace, who could sit on the throne in heaven, decided to be wrapped in a little embryo and come down and be born in Bethlehem's barn, really a stable, so that you and I could have hope. Into our dark world, the light has come. Amen? Amen. The Word became flesh, we read a moment ago. The Word became flesh, and He dwelt where? Among us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? Amen. That's John 1:14. The Word became flesh. And dear friends, why is it a sign? Have you ever wondered why the angel said, "This will be the sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Why would that be the sign? Because growing up, how many of you have seen those little cribs where they lay the little baby doll? I grew up in the Catholic Church, and every year at Christmas time, they put up banners. And the banner said, "Behold, your King cometh." He's coming, you know, your King. And something would stir, an Advent hope would stir in my heart every year, only to be disappointed with a plastic baby or ceramic baby put into a little crib on Christmas Eve. And then they would say, "Christ is born into our hearts, isn't it wonderful?" And then I would kind of lose that hope. And then we'd go back through the cycle of the seasons of the whole year, and Jesus would, you know, He would grow up, and then He would be crucified, and we would have Easter, and then we would go back through the season, come back to Christmas, and behold, your King is coming. And my little sister was the little girl that got to be the good little Christian girl who got to carry the little ceramic baby Jesus and put Him in the crib. And He was always wrapped in a baby wrap. We call that swaddling cloths, right? And laying in a crib, that's a manger. The word crib and the word manger, both are referring to in French, the French word manger, it's English, but it's from the French, manger, manger, right? Manger, to eat. The animals ate out of a crib or out of a manger. Now, this is the interesting thing. What is the sign? This is going to be a sign. You'll see a baby wrapped in a baby wrap and laying in a crib. Does that seem like a strange thing or an unusual thing? That's the most normal thing in the world, a baby wrapped in a baby blanket and laying in a little crib. No, here it is. Joseph, being a devout Jew in his 70s, likely, would not have traveled very far from home, even to go to Bethlehem for the census, without taking with him a burial shroud. Because in Israel, even to this day, the day you die is the day they bury you. Muslims do this too in Muslim countries. You die, they bury you. They don't desecrate the body with all kinds of chemicals like we do. That's our custom. But they just bury you that day. So Joseph would have been traveling with a burial shroud, a big cloth. Now, don't you think that when the baby came, that would take precedence over his burial shroud? And he would say, "Here, wrap the baby in this." And then they put the baby in a manger, which in Bible times was often a hollowed out rock. Think about it. This is the sign. The baby will be wrapped in a burial shroud and laying in a hollowed out rock. Do you see the picture? And then the wise men. What did the wise men bring to their king? They brought gifts of gold. What else? And myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh, aren't those burial spices? Check it out. They are burial spices. And so here it is, this picture of the Lamb of God. Oh, can I add another layer to this? The place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem was not in the town of Bethlehem, but outside the town of Bethlehem. There's a place called Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the sheep, where the shepherds would bring their flocks in the fall. We don't know when Jesus was born, but we know it was in the fall, October, November. Could even have been the end of October. Wouldn't be surprised if the devil got it all mixed up so we celebrate it the wrong way. I don't know. I'm not saying that's his birthday. Don't misquote me. Right? I wouldn't be surprised, though. But think about it. Jesus was born at Migdal Eder in the cave, the very lambing caves where the lambs were born who were destined to be temple sacrifices. The Lamb of God was born in the very caves, the stable, where the lambs were born to be sacrificed in the temple. He was wrapped in a burial shroud. He was laying in a hollowed out rock, and the wise men brought him frankincense and myrrh along with gold. Does that show you that Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world? Amen. I hope that Christmas is never the same for you after what I just said. That when you hear swaddling cloths lying in a manger, you will picture a little baby born on purpose, born to die for the sins of the world. And so when he later shows up, John the Baptist says, "Behold," what? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Word, God Himself, has become flesh, and He dwelt among us, tabernacled in a tent of skins. The word dwelt there is eskenosen in the Greek. He tabernacled in a tent of skin. On the outside was skin. He looked normal. On the inside was the Shekinah glory of God. And John 1:14 on following, verse down to verse 16 says, "And we beheld His glory." They saw His glory. So the Lamb of God, the Son of God, became the Lamb of God. He became the Son of Man so that He could die in our place. Real quickly, turn to Hebrews 2:14. The picture is not complete without these verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Do we have a volunteer to read? Maybe I can get Panache to help us. Hebrews 2:14. Okay, right down here we have a volunteer to read. Can we get her the microphone there? Hebrews 2:14. Can you read? Yes. Hebrews 2:14. There's a microphone right up here in the front. Thank you, young man. Hebrews 2:14. And we're also going to look at verse... 16. I'll read that right after.
"Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil."
Amen. And verse 15 goes on to say, "And to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels." Now, there is a theory out there that Jesus, when he was born, had such a sublime and holy nature that he was almost not human. But that is not the truth of the Bible. The Bible says this is good tidings for all men. And it brings great joy to know that the Son of God came down to earth so he could understand us. Amen? It's good to know when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, when you go through temptations, that the Son of God Himself entered into our experience and He feels what it's like to be human. And when we are tempted, He can understand the temptation, but He's different because He never said yes to sin. That's the only difference there. He took our nature and our liability, but He never sinned. And that is a miracle. Two mysteries in the Bible. The mystery of iniquity. How could sin start in a holy place in heaven? And the second one is the mystery of godliness. How righteousness could happen in the flesh. And that miracle is done through Jesus Christ. So it is good tidings of great joy for all people. Look down at verse 17. See, it says He did not come to help angels, but to give aid to the seed of Abraham. Verse 17. "Therefore, in all things, He had to be like, made like his brethren, that he might be a what? Merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. Dear friends, the Lamb of God that was born in the caves in Bethlehem, wrapped in a burial shroud and laid in a hollowed out rock, that same Lamb of God who came to die for us is now our high priest. Amen?
Amen.
He is first a prophet. He worked in his ministry to show us God's love. And then he is now our priest, but he's coming back as our king. Amen? He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John chapter 1 verse 9 says that he is the light, the true light that lightens every man coming into the world. Amen? I don't know how dark your world has been, but this time of year it seems darker, doesn't it? You go to work in the dark and you come home and eat supper in the dark and it just seems so dark. I want to thank God for the light, the hope we have in Jesus. By the way, I like the season, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah, they light lights. We celebrate the light. And not just the light of the sun, but the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the meaning. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to live as us, as a man, to overcome sin as a man, and to die the death that we deserve on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that he is the light, and all who love him come to the light. The others run away. But he's coming back, dear friends. We have nothing to be afraid of. He's coming again, dear friends, not as a babe, but as King of Kings. You know, as Seventh-day Adventists, I'm so glad to celebrate the Advent season and have both of those truths. He was born as a baby. He's coming back as a king. Isn't that beautiful? And so during this Advent season, everybody's talking about he's coming, he's coming. Don't settle for a plastic baby in a little crib. Remember, you've got a king who right now cares about you as your priest because he loves you and he feels the feeling of our infirmities and our weaknesses. And he's trying to do all he can to make sure that we're saved and that we're ready. And what is our job now? Through his ministration as our high priest, he wants us to tell as many as possible the good news. Luke 2:10 says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to all people." You see, friends, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we have something to tell. Amen? We have a message, and not just with words. Do we need to show it, do you think? Should we show the gospel in our actions? Should we reach out to those in need? This is a great time of year to help people. People are looking and thinking and looking for hope and wondering, how can God help me? I'm so glad that we have the opportunity. You see, when Jesus comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. His goal in coming as a man is so that men and women can be ready to meet him in peace, standing in Christ-like glory. We're going to be transformed from this body to an image of glory. Isn't that wonderful? And it's going to be soon. My Bible says soon. I don't know how soon, but I know it is soon. When Jesus comes back, the wicked will run and hide. They will run to the rocks and the hills and the mountains and say, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is coming." They didn't do that when he came as a baby, but they'll do that when he comes again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we don't have to be afraid, amen?
Right.
To us who believe, it is good news. He is our Savior. The book of Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6 says, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" When Jesus comes back, we won't run and hide if we trust in him. We'll put our arms up and say, "Abba, Daddy, you're here." and we're going to rejoice. To me, that's the fullness of the Christmas story. Amen? Amen. The child born to die, lived so that we could live, and then gives us his righteousness so that we can meet him in peace. I want to tell the world, don't you? I want to tell the world. There's a story told in Marseille, France, about Martin. They called him Father Martin. You may have heard the story. One Christmas Eve, in his little shoe repair shop, he was a cobbler, he read of the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus, and he thought about their gifts. And he said to himself, if Jesus was born tonight in my village, if he was born, what would I give him? And he took a pair of shoes that he had built, that he had made, a little white pair of leather boots with a buckle. They were sparkling beautiful, and he set them aside. I know, he says, I'll give him these. These are my finest work. He blew out the candles, and he went to bed. In the night, a voice called his name, Martin. Martin, you have longed to see me. Tomorrow, I shall pass by your window. If you see me and invite me to enter, I shall be your guest and sit at your table. That night, he hardly slept. Before dawn, he swept and garnished his little shop, spreading fresh sand on the floor. He was getting ready for Jesus to come. On his linen-covered table, he put out some bread, a loaf of bread, a jar of honey, and a pitcher of milk. And he went to the window to wait, looking for Jesus to come. But he saw only an old, tired street sweeper who stopped in front of his shop to warm his gnarled hands. Martin opened the door. He said, come in. Please come in. Warm yourself by the fire. Let me give you something warm to drink. Oh, thank you. It's so cold out there. And then he went on his way. An hour later, the shoemaker saw a young, poorly dressed mother carrying a baby. In his doorway, she paused for shelter while she was shivering from the cold. Quickly, the old cobbler opened the door. He said, come in. Come in and be warm while you rest. You look sick. Here, I'll give some milk for your baby. Here's some bread for you to eat. She said, thank you, thank you. I'm going to the hospital, she said. My husband is a sailor. He is at sea, and I haven't any money. Eat something, please. Oh, look, the little boy has no shoes. Here, he said, as he took the sparkling new shoes, and he put them on the feet of the baby. There, these will keep him warm. By nightfall, Martin was disappointed because he didn't see Jesus. He didn't think he did. Suddenly, his room was filled with light, flooded by a glorious light. One by one, the picture of his visitors that came on Christmas Day appeared before him. Each one smiled. Did you not see me? I sat at your table. Gently a voice spoke. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Dear friends, God wants his word to become flesh today. How many here are made of flesh? Raise your hand. Then we need to take this good news into our lives wherever we go. Amen? How many are willing to do that today? Amen. Praise God. Our closing hymn, we're going to sing Joy to the World. But I want to change one word. We did. I think we changed it on the slides. Instead of singing Joy to the World, the Lord is come, I want us to make it a second Advent hymn as well. Joy to the world, the Lord will come. Amen? So let's sing that together.